Welcome back to DeedNB College. Today we're building an old-school subsign workflow in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple. Stack a clean sign sub with a slightly animated upper bass layer, then arrange it so the bass line feels like a real drum and bass phrase, not just a loop that repeats forever. This is one of those foundations that separates a tune that feels heavy from one that just feels loud. In DeedNB, the sub carries the weight, the upper layer gives you note definition, and the arrangement gives the bass line identity. When those three things are working together, the drop feels focused, confident, and ready for a club system. And here's the big reason this matters. Old school jungle, rollers, and darker minimal DeedNB all live or die on bassline motion without low-end blur. If your sub is unstable, the whole tune loses authority. If your upper layer is too wide, too loud, or too long, it starts fighting the kick and snare. So the idea here is not to make one giant bass sound. The idea is to separate jobs cleanly, then make the phrase speak. Let's start with the sub. Create one MIDI track and load operator. Keep it absolutely simple. Use a single sign oscillator only. No detune, no chorus, no stereo tricks. Just a pure sign. That's your anchor. Set it an octave below your bassline idea if needed. Keep the amp envelope fast. And keep the release short enough that the notes stop cleanly. What to listen for here is very important. You do not want the sub to sound like a tone. You want it to feel like weight. If you can clearly hear harmonics on small speakers, it's probably already too dirty or too high. The sub should be centered, solid, and almost boring in solo. That's a good thing. A good sub does not need to impress you by itself. It needs to hold the floor. Now program a short phrase, not a full bar loop that just runs on autopilot. Start with one or two bars, and think like a drum programmer. Leave holes. In old school DeedNB, the bass line is part of the conversation with the kick and snare. A strong starting shape might be a long note on beat 1, a shorter answer note before the snare, and a tiny pickup or offbeat note near the end of the bar. Why this works in DeedNB is because the groove needs contrast. The drums hit hard, then the bass answers. If the bass is busy every moment of the bar, the weight disappears. Bass gives the notes meaning. That's a big one to remember. Often the better bass line is not the one with more notes. It's the one with better timing. Now let's split the job into two layers. Keep the first track as the pure sub. Duplicate the MIDI or create a second track that plays the same notes. On the second track, use a sound that has a little harmonic content, so the note is easier to hear on smaller speakers. You could use operator again with a very quiet second oscillator, wavy-able with a simple shape and a modest filter, or even simpler if you're resampling your own bass hit later. This is where a lot of beginners get better results fast, because you stop asking one patch to do everything. One layer gives you floor weight, the other gives you note character. That separation is the whole game. Now shape the upper layer with stock devices. A great starting chain is EQ8, then saturator, then maybe auto filter if you want movement. High pass the upper layer, so it stays out of the sub zone, usually somewhere around 100 to 180 Hz depending on the sound. Then add a little saturation, just enough to bring out harmonics and make the note readable. If needed, add a small filter movement to create phrasing. What to listen for here is the balance between presence and support. You should hear the note shape and edge from the upper layer, but the bottom end should still belong to the sub track. If the character layer still has too much low end, it will fight the sub and make the whole bass feel cloudy. A good trick is to keep the sub almost embarrassingly plain. That clean reference is incredibly useful later when you start adding movement and attitude. At this point, the real groove starts to appear through note length and envelope shape. Old-school subsign bass often gets its movement from how long the notes hold and where they stop, not from wild modulation. Shorten some notes so they punch and release before the snare. Let other notes ring a little longer to create pressure. On the character layer, keep the release short to medium so it stays tight. On the sub, keep it clean enough to stop without clicks, but not so loose that it blurs into the next hit. And this is a really important mindset shift. If the phrase starts feeling exciting only because it is louder, stop and level match it against the dry version. In bass music, louder often hides a weaker rhythm decision. You want the phrase to feel strong because of its shape. Bring the drums in early. Kick, snare, and any break elements should be in the session while you're still designing the bass. Do not wait until the end to discover the bass is stepping on the snare pocket. In DeedNB, that snare pocket is sacred. Check whether the bass leaves enough room for the backbeat, whether the sub and kick hit in a way that feels strong rather than muddy, and whether the upper layer leaves space for the break tops and ghost notes. What to listen for here is simple. Does the bass line lean against the drums, or sit on top of them? If it feels heavy but not clear, the problem is usually note length or layer separation, not just sound choice. Sometimes the fix is as simple as trimming one bass note or removing a note altogether instead of adding more processing. Now let's get some movement happening. Use automation instead of stacking more notes. That is a very old-school friendly way to keep a phrase alive without destabilizing the low end. Auto filter works well, and saturator drive can be used very subtly for emphasis. Over 4 or 8 bars, move the cutoff a little. Not a huge sweep, just enough to make the phrase open up and then settle back down. You can also automate volume on the character layer, so it tucks back during sparse drum moments and rises during call and response moments. The movement should feel like the bass is opening up at the end of the phrase, then tightening again for the next cycle. That's a very musical kind of energy. It keeps the bass line from feeling static without turning it into a sound design gimmick. Now we arrange it like a real drop. Think in sentences, not loops. A common structure is a short intro into the drop, then an 8-bar first statement, then a 4-bar variation, then another 8-bar statement with one more aggressive note or a small fill, then a break or stop, then a second drop that evolves the bass slightly. A useful beginner strategy is this: keep bars 1 to 4 simpler, so the groove establishes itself. In bars 5 to 8, change one thing. Maybe add a pickup note. Maybe shorten a rest. Maybe open the filter a little more. Maybe print the character layer and chop a tiny gap before the snare. That one change is often enough to make the phrase feel like a new idea without losing identity. And here's a strong coaching note. A good second drop is not just louder. It is more interesting in phrasing. That could mean one extra saturated hit, one different note ending, one slightly late bass note for drag, or one more open upper layer. Keep it subtle, but make it count. If the phrase starts sounding too smooth, resample the character layer. Freeze it, flatten it, or print it to audio. That's a really efficient move. Once it's audio, you can trim tails more precisely, cut little call and response edits, reverse a pickup, or place a tiny gap before the snare. Resampling helps you commit and move forward instead of endlessly tweaking a synth patch. That's a good habit to build. Make a clean version, make an edge version, and make a printed version. Clean tells you what the core low end is doing. Edge gives you the attitude. Print helps you arrange. That workflow stops you from getting stuck. Let's talk about mono and balance, because this is where a lot of bass lines either become serious or fall apart. Keep the sub centered. No stereo widening on the low end. The character layer can have some width if it stays above the sub range, but the bottom has to stay focused. If the low end feels cloudy, raise the high pass on the upper layer a bit. If the bass feels thin, don't automatically add more sub. Often the better move is to add a touch more saturation to the upper layer, so the bass reads on smaller speakers without bloating the bottom. What to listen for in the final check is whether the bass remains stable in mono, whether the note still reads clearly when the full drum pattern is playing, and whether the kick and sub turn into one woolly lump. If that happens, the fix is usually to shorten the upper layer or remove a note that's masking the kick transient. A few common mistakes are worth keeping in mind. Don't let the upper layer sit too low. If it starts acting like a second sub, the low end gets muddy fast. Don't let notes ring too long. Old school D10B needs punch and release, not endless sustain. Don't overdo stereo width on the bass. Wide low end sounds cool until it collapses on a club system. Don't build the whole phrase out of note density. A stronger phrase usually comes from better space. And don't wait until the end to test with drums. Always test the bass with the drums playing. If you want a darker, heavier result, keep the sub even cleaner than you think you need. Push the attitude into the upper layer with a little saturation, a filtered resonance bump, or a printed resample. Let one note be the threat note. Just one. A note that gets a little more sustain, a little more drive, or a little more weight can give the whole phrase identity without adding clutter. That's a huge trick in rollers and jungle influence drops. For groove, you can also nudge one hit slightly behind the beat if the track wants more drag. Keep it subtle. The goal is menace, not sloppiness. So here's the recap. Old school subsign workflow in Ableton Live 12 is about separating weight from character, then arranging that bass line like a real D&B phrase. Keep the sub pure and centered. Let the upper layer carry the note definition and movement. Use automation for phrase level energy, not random motion. Check everything against the drums early, especially the snare pocket. And when the idea is working, commit it, print it, and move the tune forward. If the result feels deep, clear, and purposeful in mono, with a strong snare pocket and obvious arrangement flow, you've got a bass line that belongs in an actual tune. Now I want you to put this into practice. Build the 2-layer 8-bar loop, add one automation move, and make one variation in bars 5 to 8. If you've got time, print the character layer and make one committed edit. Keep it simple, keep it heavy, and let the phrase speak. That's the old school mindset, and it still hits hard today.